Let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. In these verses, the Apostle Paul continues his final charge to Timothy to be faithful. He challenges Timothy with the pattern of his own life. Paul had fought the good fight. He had finished the race. He had kept the faith. Now Timothy should do the same, and so should we. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Once again, some background notes. Remember, the Apostle Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to Timothy. It's his last letter. It is his farewell. Soon after he wrote this letter, he was put to death by the Roman authorities. He was martyred for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy is the most personal of all Paul's letters. As he wrote to Timothy, we see his heart exposed. Paul's heart's desire for Timothy was to remain faithful and carry on the work. Paul knew that he only had a short time. Already his trial before Nero had begun. But Paul does not ask for prayers for himself, that he would be released from this imprisonment. No, Paul's main concern is for the ministry. He views his life as a sacrifice. And as he looks back over his life, he can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now Paul challenges Timothy to fulfill his ministry so that he can say the same at the end of his life. And the challenge is for us as well, since this is the Word of God. Are we fulfilling our ministry? Will we be able to say at the end of our days, or when the Lord returns, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This is quite a challenge, and it brings us to our first doctrinal point for these verses. Doctrinal point number one. Every Christian has received a ministry. Every Christian has received a ministry. Verse 5, once again, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Notice that there are 4 points here. Shall we say there is a 4-part charge here? 1, be watchful in all things. 2, endure afflictions. 3, do the work of an evangelist. 4, fulfill your ministry. Now, we want to emphasize the 4th one here in our doctrinal point, but let's look briefly at the first 3. What does it mean to be watchful in all things? The idea is to be sober, to stay spiritually alert, to be well-balanced, to stay level-headed. Watch out for Christians who are not balanced and tend to go to extremes. Generally speaking, this is a danger signal that something is wrong spiritually. You know, just about every year at Emmaus, we have a student or two that begins to go off on an extreme, depart from the well-balanced Christian life. Sometimes it's a good extreme, like, let's evangelize downtown Dubuque. And so they taper off on their studies, and they're not turning in their papers, they're not getting into the Word, but they're down in Dubuque witnessing. Well, that sounds good, but generally speaking, you'll find they fizzle out. They even drop out of school. They get going on some extreme. So again, I would say, watch out for the tendency possibly to go off balance, go toward an extreme. Timothy is not to do that. We are not to do that either. The second part of the charge is to endure afflictions or hardships. We saw back in chapter 3 in verse 12 that all who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're not to pray for hardships, but we can expect them. We are not to try to escape them. We are to endure them. And you can be sure that the Lord will give you the strength to endure any affliction or tribulation or hardship or persecution that he allows to come along your way. The third part of the charge is to do the work of an evangelist. Did Timothy have the gift of evangelism? We don't know for sure. It would seem that he definitely had the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. But in any case, he's to do the work of an evangelist, and we are to do so as well. You and I may not have the gift of evangelism, but we are to evangelize. To say, well, you know, I don't witness to my neighbor. I don't share the gospel with the people I work with because that's not my gift. That's an unbiblical stance. You may not have the gift of evangelism, but we are to do the work of an evangelist. Now, the fourth part of the charge is to fulfill your ministry. And that's our main doctrinal point here. Every Christian has received a ministry. Your ministry is not the same as your spiritual gift. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. Read Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4:10. Those are your spiritual gift passages. But a ministry is an area of service where you use your spiritual gifts and natural talents. Timothy had a ministry to fulfill. You have a ministry to fulfill. And the Lord is certainly not going to give you a spiritual gift and not give you an area of service, not give you a ministry. Now, the logical question that you're going to ask me at this point, but how do we know what our ministry is? Answer, just get involved and just take any opportunity to serve the Lord. You'll not only discover your spiritual gift, you will find that the Lord has a ministry for you. Every Christian has received a ministry. Doctrinal point number two. Not every Christian will receive the crown of righteousness. Not every Christian will receive the crown of righteousness. Every Christian has received a ministry, but not every Christian will receive the crown of righteousness. In verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul shares with Timothy his own personal testimony, and then he says in verse 8, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." What is the crown of righteousness? It is a reward which the Lord will give to the faithful Christian. Question, is the reward righteousness itself, or is it a reward for righteous living? Answer, we believe it's a reward for righteous living. Because all Christians already have the righteousness of Christ imputed to them. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Christ who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we are already righteous in God's sight. But there is a reward for righteous living, the crown of righteousness. However, not every Christian will receive it. Paul will. And you will too if you are looking forward to the return of Christ. That's what we read in verse 8. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. What's the connection between living a righteous life and looking forward to the return of Christ? Well, if you are constantly living your life in light of the return of Christ, you will surely live a more righteous life. Conversely, if you are living in sin or living an unrighteous life, you don't long for the return of the Lord. Try this procedure. Every morning when you get up, say to yourself, you know, maybe the Lord will return today. And live your day in light of that possibility. Listen, I guarantee you that you will live more righteously. And not only that, you will receive the crown of righteousness. But not every Christian will receive the crown of righteousness. Let's move to practical application. Practical application number one. Do you view your life now as a sacrifice? Do you view your life now as a sacrifice? In verse 6, Paul said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." A drink offering in the Old Testament was a libation. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 15. It was wine poured out on the animal sacrifice as the animal was being consumed on the altar. Paul viewed his overall Christian life as a sacrifice, and now his final days he views as a drink offering poured out on his life sacrifice as it comes to an end. How do you view your life? Do you view your life now as a sacrifice? Or do you view your life now as your own private possession? Or the means by which you can experience more pleasure? Or acquire more knowledge? Paul viewed his life as a sacrifice. What about us? In Romans 12:1, we are told to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Do you view your life now as a sacrifice? Pretty convicting, isn't it? You know, suppose we were told to draw your life as you see it. Draw something on the paper which communicates how you view your life. How would you do it? Would you try to draw a business person in a suit, holding a Bible? Would anybody here draw yourself up on an altar? See, that's the point. Paul viewed his life as a sacrifice. And now in his final days, just a drink offering being poured out on that life of his that was a sacrifice. Do you view your life now as a sacrifice? Practical application number two. Will you view your life then as a success? Will you view your life then as a success? In verse 7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. As Paul looked back over his Christian life, he was able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Will we be able to do the same? That's a successful life from God's perspective. Some Christians will be able to say they were successful in business and they accomplished all their career goals, but they will not be able to say, from God's perspective, I fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Will you view your life then as a success? You know, when I was 34 years old, this verse, 2 Timothy 2:7, as well as some other scriptures, were very convicting to me. You say, why 34? Well, I realized at age 34 that I was 1 year older than the Lord had been when he had completed his ministry here on this earth. And I was convicted. What was I doing with my life? Was it a success in God's eyes? We don't know how many years we have left. Do you view your life now as a sacrifice? And will you view your life then as a success?